It charged the vehicle and collided twice with one of the Land Rovers and put some serious dents in it.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams.
And I'm Doug McBurney. If you were with us last week, you saw the Southwest Safari with Mike Snavely. Fred, what have we got this week?
Mike Snavely is back with us to present on the Alaska Safari. So for those who missed it, the Southwest Safari last week, you got to go back. It's better if you watch it on YouTube as opposed to, you know, your Spotify or whatever your podcast is, so that you can see the visual, just the beauty of nature. And the safari that Mike has, I think a couple times a year or one time a year, Mike, you go to the Southwest Safari and the parks you go through, it's incredible. I've only heard good things about these. Mike's a speaker who gets a lot of really good engagements. In fact, Mike, you're going to be in Branson, Missouri, in the middle of May. Highly encourage that. And you've got four sessions, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So... Yep. And we'll provide a link to that conference, and we've got plenty of time to advertise. We're going to try to be there also. Real Science Radio will also try to get a booth at this conference in Branson, Missouri. I believe it's, I don't have the exact dates, middle of May, and hopefully we'll see you there. So, Mike, can you now take us to the Alaska Safari? Let us know, you know, how long this is, when you run it. Was it also spearheaded or spurred by the hydroplate theory?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, this session is, or I should say, this safari is based on my program that I do called The Stricken Earth, which is all of the many things that make the Earth a stricken place: earthquakes, volcanic activity, global climate change. All these things are directly related to the global flood. And Walt Brown is the one who opened up that whole thing for us. So since Alaska straddles the ring of fire around the Pacific, it's a great place to go to do sessions and a great place to go to see some scenery.
Mike, you just mentioned a term that for most conservatives is a dirty word, and that was global climate change. But I want to remind our audience that over the centuries, there have been ice ages that have not been healthy and good for people. Bad things happen during ice ages. Things don't grow and people starve. I love the term, a stricken earth. That's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just those things. It's even issues related to, say, like asteroids and things like this. And the moon, it's so stricken on the side that faces us. All these things are directly related to the global flood. And so, yeah, so climate change does happen. It goes up and down over the centuries. And what we're seeing now is all related to the flood. And so we do four sessions on a cruise ship as part of this. And I'll talk about that.
Wow.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and dig in. You've got an Alaska Safari presentation.
Yep. Just a brief one. I'll just show you a few things.
Okay. And again, okay. When do you do this safari?
This is always very late August into September. And the reason we do that is because it's the end of the season. And it's also especially because you have a better chance of seeing the color changes. It's only a 2-week thing. Their autumn up there is very short. And so the color is phenomenal. I'll show you that.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So should I go ahead and start? And this is when you start a trip like this, no matter what, whether you start in Anchorage or whether you start up in Fairbanks, you are up on the tundra. And in September, this is what it looks like. The colors are brilliant. And so the trip includes a 3 or 4 hour trip out onto the tundra where you can see the color. Now, please understand, Alaska, you don't often see blue skies like this. It's often overcast, just like Iceland, just like that whole area, that part of the world. It's often very cloudy. But when you see, when the sun does come out, or if the clouds rise enough, you can see the color. It's amazing. The tundra is an amazing place to be just to see the scenery alone. And the mountains, the further you go out into the trip, you'll start getting closer to the mountains. And the scenery is just amazing. And so there's places where you can get out and get some photographs and the snow-capped peaks and so forth. It's amazing. And if you're lucky enough to see Mount McKinley, there it is. Sometimes it's covered in fog and clouds. We're told most people don't get to see it, but we were able to. And so it's an amazing sight. And all of this is related to the global flood when continents were shifting and pushing up mountain ranges. And this is all part of that. But it is all very earthquake prone. This is also another one of the amazing things that you can occasionally see when you're up there. In fact, the one on the left was the night that we were there, but they didn't remember to wake us when it came out. So we missed it. But one of our group did. Yeah, these are the Northern Lights. So you do have a good chance of seeing them while you're up in a trip like this. But then when you're finished with that whole area, and by the way, you can do all kinds of neat excursions as well. But when you are finished, we take the Holland America McKinley Explorer train down through the pass. It's a 9.5-hour trip from this area down to where we pick up the ship. And I'll just show you some of the clips along this area. This is what the train looks like on the inside, and it's beautiful. It's first-class seating, and you got plenty of legroom, and the scenery is phenomenal. And so as you're going down through the various valleys, this is the kind of thing you see. And you'll see the rivers flowing, and the fact that the leaves have all changed is where you see the color. Otherwise, everything would just be green. So this is why we like to come at this time of year. It's a beautiful time to be there. And then at some places, you're next to wide rivers, and in other places, you're actually quite high here. They slow the train way down. This is one of the most famous sights to see. So they slow the train way down. You can actually see us going over this bridge. Beautiful scenery the whole way down for roughly 9.5 hours. Of course, when you go around Anchorage, the scenery gets a little less. But in any event, this year, or I should say just last September, was very unusual. We had a lot of rain, but up in the tundra, we had snow. Even the guide we had on the train was telling us he's never seen snow at this time of year while he's working up in Alaska. So this was a very unique experience to see snow while we were on that train. So that was very cool to see. But when we get down to Whittier, we pick up our ship, a Holland America ship, and you spent 9.5 hours in the train. And so now your room feels a little bit welcome while it's kind of cold and damp outside. But in any event, this is what the first thing you're seeing is the Hubbard Glacier. You can actually take a little bit of a tour to go out and see Hubbard Glacier. It's right along the ocean. But then as you're going into Glacier Bay, the scenery is all really mountainous, very spectacular scenery. When you go into Glacier Bay, there's a few things, especially I speak four times on the ship itself. And we talk about global climate change, and we talk about glaciers. You hear the panic. They say, oh yeah, these glaciers are receding. And they show you, even in the visitor center down in Anchorage, I got a video of it that I showed during my presentation. They show a certain glacier, the way it looked about 40 years ago, right down at the ocean. But then they show it about 10 years ago, it was almost gone. They say, see, our glaciers are disappearing. But the day before, we took a catamaran out there, and the glacier is full again and right back down to the ocean. So these things come and go. Oh. But essentially what's happening is this is the tail end of the ice age. And the reason these things are coming and going is because the area is cold. And so these things will build and then they'll recede. But Glacier Bay, like 97% of the whole bay has melted long before global warming was ever even an issue. So when they talk about all this panic over the glaciers melting, it's just all that panic. Yeah. Anyway, we stop at various places along the way. The ship does. We stop first at Skagway. And there we can actually take a train ride up into the mountains, you can see the gold rush areas. But in the evenings is when I speak on the ship. And this particular one, they gave us a room to speak in. And so I was able to do four presentations in the evenings. And each evening after the sun goes down, and so there's nothing much really to do anyway. So we have four 1 hour presentations in the evenings. But at Skagway, you can take this little train up into the mountains. It's the old gold rush area, and it's spectacular scenery. This is something we highly recommend. A lot of these are extra. They're called excursions, and you can add them to your trip. And so this is one we highly recommend. Again, I've got tons of video of all of this stuff. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an idea of what it's like to go up in the old Gold Rush area. But at one place, it's Skagway also, I wanted to get, for a new video we're making called The Stricken Earth, I wanted to get a helicopter ride up to a local glacier. And so I was astonished by what I saw. In fact, when we landed on the glacier, it looks flat. But as you land, look how mountainous the thing is. And there are streams flowing all across the top of it. And the water is the best water you've ever tasted. We actually got down right on my stomach and drank water right out of the streams. It is really good water. And it looks like dirt all over these things. We're told that it's not. It's some sort of a fungus that grows on it. It looks like dirt, but it's not. Maybe in some places it is. But anyway, so the helicopter lands. You have about 40 minutes there where your guide takes you around and shows you some interesting features of a glacier surface. But when you take back off again in the helicopter, you can actually see what a huge mound it is, a mountain in a valley. And look at those lines you see there. It's astonishing. So this is one of the glaciers close to Skagway. And then as the ship moves to the south, we stop at Juneau, and then we also stop at one other stop south there at Ketchikan. And again, in the evening, again, more sessions. Ketchikan, we stop. These towns are great. There's always all kinds of excursions. But then when you leave Ketchikan, you go overnight and you wind up in Vancouver. And it's kind of cool to see the city when you're pulling in the early morning. But anyway, it is about a 12-day adventure. And the last 7 days of which are on the ship. So if you like ships, that has an appeal all of its own as well. So anyway, that's in essence the Alaska safari.
Wow. So if you're going to go to Alaska, you got to sign up for one of Mike's safaris, because you're not just going to get the great tours. He already knows all the great spots to go, but you're going to get to go on these places up into Alaska. You come back, you ride on a cruise ship. But you also get these sessions, and it sounds like quite a few of them, where you learn about creation, you learn about the stricken earth, you learn about all of this from a creationist, from a biblical perspective, instead of some secular global warming, global whatever,
right?
Climate change. Yeah, we agree with climate change. Climate changes. It changes in Colorado all the time.
It does.
You know, but you get it from a biblical perspective, and wow, yeah, if you're thinking about a cruise and a safari overall, this sounds like a really good one. And Mike, when's your next one?
That will be in 2027 in September, late August, September, and into September. And we're actually taking bookings for that now. I think we take about 50 people. We've booked 50 spots, and I think we're up to 30-some people. We haven't actually opened it yet, but we do this every other year. We have to book the ship a year and a half in advance. Otherwise, you don't get that many rooms.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, we will put a link down in the show summary on the website and on the YouTube channel. And for folks on the radio, do they go to missionimperative.org?
Org.
That's what I was
thinking. Missionimperative.org.
Missionimperative.org if you want to check it out. And now, Mike, I want to go to Africa someday. It's one of those things I've never been. Well, actually, I walked across the border into Egypt for about 5 seconds when I went to Israel, but that's as close as I've ever been to an African safari. But you do a real African safari. And before you get there, when you introduced yourself last week, you said, well, growing up in Africa, and you said it like, you know, growing up in Pennsylvania. Anyway, but growing up in Africa, that had to be pretty amazing. And now you go and you take people to Africa. Take us there.
Hey, before we go to Africa, I want to get in the interesting fact of the week, but Doug, you also have a few announcements.
Yes, I have as many announcements as you'll let me make before the interesting fact of the week. I want to invite people to check out the Great Deep newsletter at hydroplate.org. Find out the latest, greatest happenings. Get involved with promoting the Hydroplate theory with the Great Deep newsletter at hydroplate.org. And then, Fred, I want to invite people to sponsor the interesting fact of the week right here on Real Science Radio. Go to store.rsr.org or click the link in the description there at the bottom. I point like that. Isn't that how you do it? Yeah, like that. It's right down there. Click that link, go to the store, sponsor a show, buy some materials, pre-order the 9th edition of In the Beginning, Walt Brown's groundbreaking, no pun intended, work on the hydroplate theory and the global flood. And why does the world look the way it does? And why does the solar system look the way it does? Check it out, the 9th edition, pre-order now. Get the price while gold and silver are in a little bit of a buying opportunity. That same thing with the 9th edition. There's a buying opportunity here. You can pre-order, but because you know, Fred, I finally did get that price linked to the precious metals so that whenever there's a dip that people can take advantage. And all right, now I'm killing time to avoid the interesting fact of the week. Was there anything I forgot in the commercials there, Fred?
There isn't, but we do want to mention, speaking of Alaska, we just did that safari with Mike. There's Frank, has sponsored several shows. We want to mention Frank of Eagle River, Alaska. We want to thank Frank for all his support to Real Science Radio.
Thanks, Frank.
And speaking of the 9th edition, it's really selling like hotcakes. We're getting a lot of pre-orders. You're going to love this new edition. And we thank you for all those orders. And we're going to get those out as soon as we get our pallet full of books. And we expect that in roughly mid to late March. So, Doug, here's the interesting fact of the week. Are you ready?
Okay,
here we go. What is the only letter of the English alphabet that does not appear anywhere in the periodic table?
I was so happy when you had it narrowed down to only 26 possible answers, but then you threw in a chemistry element that, no pun intended. Let's see, the only letter that does not appear. Is there only one letter that doesn't appear?
Only one in the English alphabet.
I'm going to say X. Obviously not a chemistry major.
Yep.
That's why we have other chemists.
Mike, did you want to take a shot at it?
I have not a clue. I would make up a letter.
Well, you got a 1 in 26 chance of being right.
Like a Scrabble. What are the kind of the rare letters? So
I would letter, have no way.
Yeah, it's J. J does not appear in the periodic table.
Okay, Fred, I don't see how that is of any value to anyone to know that piece of information. I think we need to go to
Africa.
There's
a lot of value, Doug. The value is me getting to do this. Okay, so Mike, let's head over to Africa and let's hear about the safari that you do, this, I guess, 16-day safari.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, in July. So just a few things to preface it for people who might be interested. A lot of people say, oh boy, you know, that's a long way to go. It is. And we take the direct flight out of Newark directly to Johannesburg, get all the travel behind. You don't even bother going through Europe. We always purchase the economy plus seating on the plane as well. And everybody is really happy about that because you get extra legroom. Ta-da. Okay. So when we land in Johannesburg, everybody's tired. And the first hotel we stay in is right at the airport. It's basically a causeway you walk across to get to it. It's beautiful. They have a buffet meal there. It's amazing. Early the next day, we fly down to the city of Durban, and that's where the safari begins. People want to know, well, what do you travel on over there? Do you have to walk? Do you have to camp in a tent every night? No, this is our mode of travel. A very, very cool little bus. And this will take us up. The first stop that we do is up to a little town called St. Lucia. It's a World Heritage Site. There's a lot of Zulu markets, Zulu crafts and stuff that you can get there. And we stay at a beautiful little lodge called Lidiko Lodge. This is the first of our lodges that we stay in. And we keep the group small for one basic reason. There's only 18 that can come. And that's because three of our lodges only have 9 rooms. And so that keeps it small. It keeps it really actually personal. It's really nice. But everything is subtropical. It's a beautiful area, beautiful birds and everything. We relax by the pool when we get there. But then the real reason we're at St. Lucia specifically is because it has one of the biggest estuaries. In fact, Africa's largest estuary. And we take a boat up into this estuary in order to see hippos. Now, hippos you won't see very often anywhere else, at least not close up. Here you get to see them close because they're in the water and the boat allows you to get to see hippos. Now, hippos are the most dangerous animal in Africa. Besides these guys are very dangerous too. And you see them from the boat as well. But a hippo is the most dangerous animal. More people die from them than any other animal, but you don't normally get to see them closely. So this 3-hour boat ride gives us a nice capability of seeing those animals close up. Then when we leave the next morning, we stop at a couple Zulu markets. This is one of the very cool ones. This is called Ilala Weavers, and they make these beautiful woven grass baskets or mats, whatever, in the typical Zulu tradition. And it's a beautiful place to stop. So we stop there, and then we head on to our first of our big 5 game reserves. This is one of the 2 main game reserves that the whole safari hinges on, Manyoni Game Reserve. And where we stay in this game reserve is at Leopard Mountain Lodge, where we're welcomed by Melissa Van Royen, the manager. The lodge is totally beautiful. It's a very beautiful place to stay. Everything is thatch roof. Animals come right up to the edges of it. You can see what it's like. You know, this is a young female in Nyala, and these are all around the camp. So are warthogs. They're very, very cool creatures that are right next to the camp. But their view from every one of the bungalows looks right out over the game reserve. And so you can just sit and watch with binoculars, just see what's there. This is typically when people say, well, what's your accommodation like in Africa when you go there? Do you sleep in tents? No, we stay in very nice places like you can see here. In fact, this is a brief tour of one of the lodges you stay in. You have your own little place, your own little balcony there. The animals are not restricted. They come right up to your porch there. You have an outside shower if you want to do that. It's very private. Nobody can see you. That little plunge pool you see there is mainly used by people in the summertime. It's a nice place to get into. It's a nice, cool place to sit. But in the evenings after dinner, and I'll show you what that's like out under the stars. In the evenings, when you come back from dinner, you're brought back by a ranger because the animals are out there. You're brought back with a flashing. You know, they bring a flashlight and make sure there's no leopards that have parked themselves on your deck. And once you're in this place, you close the door and you're there for the night. It's self-contained, but it's beautiful. And the animals can come right up. Sometimes they come and they drink right out of that plunge pool. But this is what it's all about. This is the best way to see wildlife in Africa from the back of a Land Cruiser or a Land Rover. And this is where you get to see a lot of animals. And by the way, one of the cardinal rules is you never stand up, because in the Bible, God said that he put the fear of man into the animals. If you stand up, then they suddenly recognize that there's a human there. If you stay seated in these vehicles, the animals do not associate the vehicle with a human, and they get very used to the vehicles. So seeing animals is what you see. Buffalo, giraffe. I mean, this was an amazing sighting for one of our people that came with us. In fact, it was my cousin and her husband. They came on a safari finally, some family members. And 5 minutes out from the camp, this is what we came across. And this was a royal treat, because you don't always see elephants this close. And these guys were not intimidated at all, but the herd came right up to us. And sometimes they'll
man, that's a little scary.
Drunk up and smell you. And that's a royal treat when you get that. But you have to sit very, very still and quiet when they do that. Wow. Anyway, that is a very cool experience to have, the elephants that close to you. And it, by the way, you can tell these animals are not threatened. The guides that are the rangers, they know when an animal is threatened and is feeling aggressive. They're not showing any aggression. What they're really headed for was this water tank where they wanted to get fresh water. This is actually for the camp, but they were going to steal fresh water. They didn't want the dirty water out of the water holes. So that's where they were actually headed. But one of the most amazing sightings that we had was very rare black rhino. You do not see black rhino at all. It's extremely rare. So we were very, very privileged to see two, a mother and a baby coming out from the forest. And typically, if a black rhino exposes itself this much, it's going to charge you. And so she did not charge. And so we were really happy about that. And right after we saw these black rhino, and by the way, you notice their horns are trimmed. They have to capture creatures every now and then to trim the horns to save them from the poachers. And I'll show you what that's like. This is something we organize for all of our guests. Right after we saw that, we came across a pack of cheetah that were hunting. Oh, I can't get it to play. There we go. These are young cheetah, and they had already taken off to go after an Inyala way too soon. And it's astonishing how fast these guys can run. But these guys were still hunting. These were young, and they are still trying to learn the sneak and the try to get as close as you can before rushing off after your supper. So anyway, they didn't catch anything while we were waiting there. So that's one of the things about Africa where we go. You can't go anywhere in the world and see a wider array of creatures that God made. That's why we do this, because it's a creation thing. And also you see evidence of the curse. These animals are killing each other now for food. And almost all the bushes you see have thorns on them. So the Bible talks about thorns and thistles. So that's what the whole area is just full of that kind of thing. Evening game drives, again, you'll see all kinds of creatures. People want to know what the food is like. Well, the food is excellent. This is part of breakfast before you order your hot meals. And this is sometimes what they'll do with our groups. We're told by this particular lodge that our groups are their favorite groups of any groups that come. And I think I know why, because our people are Christians and they treat everybody really well, and they notice it. The staff notices that. So they treat us to a breakfast out in the bush. And this is a very cool thing to do. These are gourmet cooks, and they set up everything for us either in the woods like this, or sometimes it's out in the riverbed. But one of the things that I wanted to show you that is really fascinating is we have a very unique opportunity with this game reserve to help them take down rhinos to trim their horns. So what'll happen is we'll gather in the morning in lieu of one of our game drives. We'll kind of drive around a bit until they've located one of the rangers has located a rhino. And we'll gather here and we'll get a little bit of a talk from the head of the game reserve. We'll get a little bit of a talk from the vet who comes to do this. And so we understand everything that's going on. The helicopter will land, we'll meet the pilot and so forth. Once they land and they take off, they'll go off to the rhino, they're going to dart it, and then we follow in the Land Rovers. And once we do, once they've located it here, you can see what we're doing. They've located the rhinos, and now we're following in the bush to get close to it so we can actually help. And what's nice, you kind of feel like Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom, because they allow our each individual person who wants to come help them. They'll do things like take the animal's temperature or measure the girth of the horn that they're trimming. And by the way, the horn is just compressed hair. It's the same thing as your fingernail. It's just keratin. But people in the Orient believe that it cures, you know, cancers and all kinds of strange things. It's completely not true. And because of lies like that, these animals are very, very endangered. So to keep them from going extinct, the many game reserves have to go to this horn trimming method. It's very expensive. So our group participates in it. And it's a very cool thing to do. Once they've darted the animal like this, we'll wait by the side. And once they've darted it, the helicopter will land. And the guys will get out. Now, this rhino has had the dart in its rear end. It can no longer function. Before it goes down, it's still trying to stand up. It's no longer dangerous. It can't attack, but it'll go down on all fours. And so three of the people there in the middle are people we know well. The girl who's in charge of the whole game reserve, the lodge owner, is right there in the middle. And they have to cover the creature's eyes and its ears so it doesn't see and hear too much, because they have to use a chainsaw to cut through the horn. In one of these, they actually gave me the permission. Everybody else had to get back in the Land Rovers, and they gave me permission next to one of the rhinos before they brought it out of this to actually do a talk for one of our Ranger Mike videos called The Lie. That one's still not produced yet, but we've already filmed the whole thing about The Lie. And so we were able to get permission to do this. Once I was done, and typically what they do is everybody gets back in, the vet goes and administers the antidote, and the creature comes out of its stupor like this. As soon as it stands up, and you notice that the area where the horn is painted purple. That's a temporary sort of a protector, a chemical to protect the creature from parasites and so forth, like antibiotics. And when they stand up, they're good to go. He's not dizzy or anything, and he immediately begins to make little grunting noises to find the rest of the herd that the helicopter also chased off. So our groups all have the opportunity of taking part in a really cool thing. It helps everybody to feel like they are a ranger as well. So that's kind of neat. Well, when we finished our 3 days at Leopard Mountain, we go up through Swaziland, because if you don't go through the corner of Swaziland like we do, it's 3 hours through the country, you have to go around it, and that takes 7 hours. So it's much easier to go through. So we have to stop at the border at the bottom and at the top to go through. When we finish that, we come out, and we go into Kruger National Park, which is where I used to work. We stay in Crocodile Bridge, and this is a very neat little camp because we actually make our own supper here. Up to this point, all meals are provided. This is right next to a river, and we actually make our own cookout. We let people choose something that they want. They get the opportunity to go through a grocery store, choose what they want for supper. I make steaks and sausage on the grill here right next to the river. It's a very cool experience. But in Kruger, this is old game country. This is where you see wildlife. This is, you'll see all kinds of creatures all through this area. So you don't always see elephants this close drinking. I wanted to point out something that's amazing. We're going to be using this in one of our upcoming Ranger Mike videos as well. There are 40,000 mussels in that elephant's trunk. 40,000 mussels. It's astonishing. These guys are amazing. And so they're basically using it as their not only breathing tube, but as a straw to suck up water and to drink that way. But anyway, the wildlife is very close. Typically, they're not afraid of the Land Rovers. Now, you talk about cute. How about this? I don't think it gets a whole lot cuter than that. And so we don't always see lion cubs like this, but this is just so amazing to be able to see babies playing like this.
Wow.
That is again, cool. I don't think it gets a whole lot cuter. But then, you know, when they get older, you'd think they'd stop being little cats. No, these are fully grown lions, although they're still young. They're fully grown. They completely take care of themselves. But a cat, I guess, is always a cat. And so here these two decide. And by the way, look at their faces. Look at their faces. Their faces are red. They had just killed a warthog. So they had just, a warthog is basically just a snack to lions like this, but they had eaten that warthog, but they're still playing. Look at that. They're still like little kittens. So now the one goes to lie down and this one says, well, I don't think so, buddy. I think I still need to come over here and help myself to a little bit of playtime here. Though, here we go again.
So are you that close to them? How close are you?
Oh, yeah. These are only like 20 feet away.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, you don't always see this. I mean, this is, you know, even the Rangers, you know, when I showed them the video, they said, boy, that is so cool that you're able to actually catch all that. So, we give more game drives than anyone else. Like if you look at a lot of tour companies will do 2, 3, or 4 game drives. We offer 10. And you don't have to do them all, but we offer 10, so you know, you're there to see wildlife. Well, when we leave Kruger, we head off to a beautiful camp. It's called Maholoholo Forest Camp. It's a beautiful camp. The lodge building where we get our meals is on the left, and you can see one of the bedrooms on the right. Beautiful camp, but we kind of relax here. This is Saturday evening, and we're there over a Sunday. So Sunday morning, we have like a little church service, our own. Sometimes the staff members join us, and it's a very cool thing to do. So we have our own little church service. After the church service, we go for a walk guided by a ranger. This is not a big five gamers. You don't have to worry about lions or buffalo or anything like that, but a lot of plains game. So a very cool walk that we do. And then after lunch, they take us on a tour of their facility, which is, after all, it's a rehab center. So it's very educational, and it's really interesting to meet all the animals, the young baby wildebeest right there. When we're finished with this, we're there for two nights. When we finish that, we head back over to Kruger region, but to another private game reserve called Timbavati, where we stay overnight at for two nights at Motswari Lodge. Now, we do that. We stop at this little town called Hootsprate on our way to Motswari Lodge because it's a great little town where there's all kinds of crafts right along the street, neat gift shops, all kinds of stuff. We spend several hours there, but we go on to Motswari Lodge. Now, Motswari Lodge is absolutely beautiful, as you can see. And this is what typically all the lodges, from Moholoholo to Motswari here, Leopard Mountain, this is what you do in the evenings. You eat outside like this under the stars. It's a really cool thing to do. Big suppers that they bring us. But again, this is what you're here to see. You're here to see wildlife, and wildlife you do see. Now, in this particular game reserve, you don't see as much plains game as you do down in Zululand, where we would have been earlier, but you do see lots of it. Well, we are not here to see plains game. We saw a lot of that for our three nights at Leopard Mountain and also in Kruger. But what we're here for is much rarer things that you almost never see anywhere else. And those are creatures like this, leopard. Now, this particular leopard, you think it's hunting. Look how it's sneaking. And it's not hunting at all. It's actually trying to get back to its kill in a tree. This was a really, really rare sighting because this leopard, we thought initially it was hunting, but it's not. But it's tiptoeing back to the tree where it already has a kill. But the reason it's tiptoeing is because the tree is already surrounded by hyenas, which are very dangerous to the leopard. And so it's trying to sneak back to its tree so that it doesn't wake up the hyenas that are, they can smell the kill in the tree, and they're hoping that it'll fall down from the tree. They're hoping to get a snack. Then eventually, what happens is this leopard sneaks right past a hyena that wakes up. And I thought I'd play this whole clip. Some of the other clips I've cut short, but I thought you guys might get a kick out of watching this. Man. It sneaks right past a large hyena that is sleeping, or so the leopard thinks. Now, it's sneaking here real quietly to try to get past it. And wild. If it was hunting, its eyes would be locked on its prey. So this is how we know it's not hunting. It's looking at the ground. It's trying to be real quiet. But right there's the hyena, and it walks past it, trying not to wake it up. It looks at it, but the hyena is awake. Look at that, looking right over at it. Now the leopard knows the gig is up, so it jumps up into the tree and starts working on its meal that it's already had. So the hyenas are sitting below it. They're all trying to get pieces of bone that's falling, and they do. They got bits and pieces of it. So this is very cool. We also got to see a mother with a baby. We see leopard almost every time we go to this game reserve, but it's often the only place we see them. So we go to Motswari to see not only leopard, which are very rare to see elsewhere, but also to see something else. This is a very rare animal called a Cape hunting dog, or a painted dog, or a wild dog. It goes by all three names. And what's interesting about these guys is they're one of the rarest animals on the planet. There were about 24 individuals counting the babies, and our guide said, we are looking at about 1/10 of the world population of these things right here. So they're very, very rare. Now, wow. This you would think this is the mother here. This is not the mother. When the mother has babies like this, all of the other female adult dogs will help take care of all the puppies. So it's amazing. And they do not tolerate any disobedience. If a puppy begins to, you know, go off somewhere where it shouldn't be, boy, they will put them in their place right away. So anyway, beautiful dogs, but they're very, very rare. Well, when we leave this area, we fly directly on Airlink, fly directly to Cape Town, where we spend 3 nights. You don't want to go the whole way to South Africa without going to the jewel of the continent. So we take a full day tour of the peninsula. We stop at Megan's Bay and look at the 12 Apostles, those mountains in the background. We stop at Kalk Bay. We go up over Chapman's Peak Drive, which is considered by many tour groups to be the world's most beautiful marine drive. And so we also go to Cape of Good Hope, one of the most famous sites in the world for mariners. Our hotel is right on one of the portions of the harbor. You can see Table Mountain in the background, a very famous site. And our hotel, we have breakfast. This is what our windows look out at. So it's really beautiful to look out at this. So we spend 3 days here. You want to know what the meals are like? This is breakfast. This is 3 tables loaded with food. You can see it's different types of food. And this is before you even order your hot meal. So this is very cool. We also go to the botanical gardens where there's beautiful birds, beautiful flowers. And if it's open, we go up the cable station, go up the cable car, right up to the top of Table Mountain where you can look down on the city. And those first pictures you were looking up from way down there up to the mountain, well, here is what you can see from the top. If the cable station is not running because they're doing maintenance, then we go up to that mountain you see on the left side. You still get beautiful views of the city from over there. But then great views. And then after different days of touring around the area, we fly directly from Cape Town back to the States. And that is our 16-day African wildlife trip.
Wow. So, Mike, wow. Behind you on the couch there, it looks like one of those rare dogs. Is that what that is?
Actually, this one over here, yeah, this is the Cape hunting dog, and this is a baboon over here. Yeah, but that's what they are. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Mike, you mentioned shooting a video called The Lie that hasn't been produced yet. It hasn't been released. Can we get a preview?
Yes, what it is, it's a series of videos we're making for kids called The Adventures of Ranger Mike. We have 12 planned. The goal behind that is if a person watches all 12 or 13 videos, however many it's going to wind up being, they'll get a good working knowledge of Genesis 1 through 12, as well as get a lot of knowledge of animals because they're heavy on wildlife. So The Lie is not the one we're working on now. We have 7 finished. We're finishing up one now called The Case of the Missing Bones. It's about fossils. And The Lie will be the next one. That'll be number 9 in the series. So it's a series for kids, basically.
Okay, so you're not going to tell us what The Lie is. You're going to have to buy it, folks. You got to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, the part of Genesis that one's involved with is the lie that happened in the garden when the devil said, "Did God really say?" And so we take off from there. That's a look at the Genesis passage there. So since it's called The Lie, and that's the biblical aspect we want to talk about, then all of our videos, this series of videos, has a backyard bug section and a creature feature. So the creature feature in this one is the rhino, and then that's why we talk about the horn has to get cut off because people believe a lie about what eating rhino horn will do. And so the lie has done 3 things. The lie deprives the rhino of its protection. It deprives people of actually getting healed because they won't get healed by eating rhino horn. And number 3, because tourists aren't seeing the rhino the way it's meant to be seen.
Wow. And tie it all back to Genesis.
Tie each one back to some part of Genesis 1 through 12.
Amazing. That is awesome. That is awesome. I can't wait. Hopefully, when you release the series, we can have you back on and maybe do a little preview and give people a taste of that. It sounds really great.
And we have 7 of them already finished, and we produce DVDs, and we also are going with our new website, hopefully this year. We're going to offer complete streaming of everything we have. We still produce DVDs, and for one reason, and they're still very popular because people like sharing them. You can't share a stream. You can't, and if your internet goes down, you're locked in. But a DVD, you know, you can share. And that we find that loads of people like buying these and sharing them with their neighbors and family and stuff like that. So DVDs are always going to be a thing that we'll produce as well.
Yep. Very cool.
So, and Mike, I'm curious, was there any... with lions and leopards and whatnot, do you have to use caution, or obviously they're going to protect their guests, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The guides know if an animal like an elephant is acting threatening, and they'll know to back away or to stay away from it. But no, lions, typically, they are not interested in the vehicle. Sometimes they'll come up and smell a tire, or sometimes even use the vehicle to hide from a herd of impala or something on the other side of the road. So sometimes they'll walk right past, and that's an electric excitement when they walk right past the vehicle. Yeah, most animals are not going to bother you at all. Those two black rhino, and that's the third time we've seen black rhino. A couple times, especially, you know, they look like they're going to charge. And a lot of times they do, because they're very ill-tempered. They're much more rare than a white rhino, and they're smaller, but they're very ill-tempered. But
well, when they charge, does the driver, like, put it into gear and just crank out of there?
If they charge, because typically they shut off the engine because you just want to enjoy the sounds of the bush. If they charge, there's no way the guy can get this thing started and running again. The only thing he can do is bang on the side of the vehicle to you know, and go, hey, you know, and try to get the thing dissuaded. One charged the vehicle last year right after we were finished with it doing the darting of it. It was a black rhino. It charged the vehicle and collided twice with one of the Land Rovers and put some serious dents in it. So we have video of that as well.
Wow. So, oh, man. Well, yeah. Listen, I'll bet you, Mike, I'll bet you that on every single safari, there's at least one thing that never happens on any other safari.
Absolutely.
And you're just like, wow, right?
Yeah. And we go in wintertime, right? Because then there's you almost never see bad weather. You almost never see spiders or snakes or bugs because it's wintertime. It's actually much colder. But of course, right after we were gone, one of the rangers got this incredible video of a giant python crossing the road right after we were there.
Wow.
So they're not always completely gone.
Well, so. I'll tell you what, I just watching the video of your group involved in the horn trimming.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing you can get to being involved in a military operation without joining the military. That was so cool with the helicopter swooping in front and the and the Land Rovers. Wow, just amazing stuff.
It is.
Really great, Mike.
All right. So Mike is from missionimperative.org. You can go there to learn more about what they're doing. And Mike will be appearing in Branson, Missouri. And I've got the dates here, May 14th through 16th at the Branson Convention Center.
Right.
It's a nice area to go visit. They've got a lot of good shows there, too. And one of them is Sight and Sound Theater. I'm not paid to give this promotion, but we've gone to their King David show, and I think that'll still be running through May. And you'll want to add that to your agenda if you are able to make it to Branson, Missouri, May 14th to 16th. Because, Mike, you'll be speaking there, I think, four times.
And I have four sessions, right, including one, you know, the flood. So I'll be talking about the hydroplate there as well. And a brand new session I have, Go to the Ant. It's about ants. And so,
okay.
Yeah. And this is that it's a homeschool conference, right, Fred? Is there an official name for the homeschool conference?
It's Teach Them Diligently, Branson.
All right.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
And we're like trying to get a booth there. And as of now, we believe we have a pretty good shot. So we hope, hopefully Real Science Radio will be there, and we'll be checking out your sessions there, Mike, for sure.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. God bless you. God bless all your efforts at Mission Imperative. And folks,
thank you so much.
Go to missionimperative.org and check it out. Sign up. Go to Africa. Go to Alaska. Go to the Southwest. That might be the first one on my
That's
calendar.
The most popular one. That's a very cool trip.
Yeah, well,
that
God
fills up
you.
Very quickly each year, but we do actually have space this year still, surprisingly. So, yeah.
Okay. So go back to the last week's show to catch the Southwest Safari.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, it was a pleasure having you on. And hey, we're going to have you on again sometime in the future, especially when you get
Thanks so much.
Video series done. Really appreciate it. Appreciate all the work you're doing for creation, getting the truth out there.
Amen.
Appreciate what you guys do too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So for Mike Snavely and my co-host Doug McBurney, I'm Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.